Well, nice to be with you this evening, and good to meet together to worship the living God. I'll just read a verse from Psalm 117. There's only two verses in Psalm 117, but it's a wonderful psalm. This is what it says. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Well, let's come before the Lord and ask that the Lord would be with us as we worship him together. Let's pray. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can draw near to you through the new and living way, through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is our Saviour. We thank you that he is a complete Saviour. We thank you that he saves from sin, from guilt, from shame, from despair. And Lord, we pray that as we consider him this afternoon, that you would strengthen our hearts in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. Lord, shut all things out of our minds, protect us from the wiles of Satan, and help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we long for you to speak to us, but Lord, help us to exercise faith. Lord, help us to come ready to hear, ready to receive from you, and we pray that you would bless us, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we'll sing our first hymn together, which is number 16 in New Christian Hymns. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. We'll stand and sing together.
Accessible.
mighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Well, if you have a Bible with you, please turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 13, Hebrews 13. We're going to read through the whole chapter, or to verse 25 is what I put. Let's hear the word of God. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison, as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated, as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honourably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. Amen. We give thanks to God for his word. And we're going to sing again, just a shorter chorus, but a wonderful chorus. Number 632. How good is the God we adore, our faithful and changeable friend. His love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. Let's stand and sing together. Should we come to God together in prayer? Let's all pray. Father, thank you that we can sing, how good is the God that we adore. Lord, we could say none of these things if you had not first saved us from our sin. Lord, we cannot even recognize your goodness. Lord, if you first do not do us good in saving us. Father, we naturally are bent towards evil. Naturally, we do not see your goodness. Naturally, we are more prone to blame you for things which are not your fault. Lord, we look around this world that is so full of sin, and we think of our lives that have been so affected by sin and are so broken by it. And Lord, outside of the grace that is found in Christ, Lord, we would blame you. But thank you this afternoon that by your grace you've opened our eyes to see that you are good. Thank you that your word calls us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, the woman, who trusts in you. Lord, so thank you. We can sing, how good is the God that we adore. And Lord, we do adore you. We adore you because you first loved us. We adore you for your grace and your mercy. We adore you because you sent your only Son, who laid down his life as a ransom for us. Lord, thank you that whilst these things are spiritual, Lord, they're also facts of history. The Lord Jesus Christ really did bleed and die on our behalf. Lord, we marvel at this, that living he loved me, and dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away, and rising he justified, freely forever. And one day he's coming, O glorious day. Lord, we do thank you for the gospel. We thank you that this is what gives us hope. Lord, in the midst of difficult circumstances, and hardships and whatever it is that we're facing, whatever stage of life that we're at, Lord, thank you that this hope is sure and certain for your people. And so we pray that you would encourage us in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus and in the hope of eternal life. Lord, help us to put our armour on. Help us to stand with those shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to wear that breastplate of righteousness, remembering that we are accepted not because of who we are, but in spite of who we are. Lord, help us to hold up the shield of faith with which we can quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Help us to wield that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to wear the helmet of salvation and to wear that belt of truth. Lord, make us into the men and women, the people that you're calling us to be. Lord, thank you that there is a church here in this place, a witness to the gospel. And Lord, thank you that you are building your people together in this place. And Lord, we pray that you continue to bless the work in this place. Lord, we pray for every outreach to those in this community, that you would bless it and you would encourage the workers here. Lord, would you bless Gareth and his wife and family and strengthen those who support him in the ministry. And Lord, may your name be glorified here in this place. Lord, thank you that we're not alone as evangelical churches in this country. We thank you, Lord, that whilst many countries do not know fellowship with other churches, we are blessed to know many like-minded churches up and down the length and breadth of this country. And so we pray that as gospel churches meet together, perhaps later on in this day, that you would be pleased to pour out your blessing upon them, and that as the gospel is preached, that lost souls will be brought to salvation. But Lord, we pray for ourselves. Lord, we stand in need. And Lord, thank you that you're able to meet that need. And so, Lord, as your word comes to us, yes, Lord, as we sing, and then as we hear it preached, Father, we pray that you would speak to us. And we pray that you would do it for your great name's sake. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll say again, it's nice to be with you. I bring you greetings from Boris Park Church in Wrexham. We've just had our weekend away up in Ballot at Bryn y Groes. So instead of going back to Wrexham and then to you, we came from there. So nice to be with you, and greetings from Boris Park. But before we hear the word of God to us this afternoon, let's sing again as a prayer to prepare our hearts. So number 351, Break Thou the Bread of Life. We'll stand and sing together.
Thank you.
Do have Hebrews 13 open in front of you, and then you'll be able to see where we're going. The scriptures are full of commands to remember. Remembering in the Christian life is very important. We're called to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Lord knows what we need, that we need rest. And he's given us the first day of the week as New Testament believers to remember and keep it special as a day of worship to him. We're to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. And there's also a reason to that. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. The Bible is such an honest book, isn't it? It says things as they are. And it knows that life is hard and will get, by all probability, harder. Remember your Creator while you're young and be ready for the difficult days. Remember, remember, remember. In fact, the best way for us as individual Christians and as a church to move forward is also by remembering. And that is why, as part of the life of the church, the Lord has given us the Lord's Supper, this communion feast. This do as often as you do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you do this in remembrance of me, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We remember in order to move forward. Not for sentimental reasons, not to be nostalgic, but because it is good. We ground ourselves in what the Lord has done, and on the strength of that we live in the present and we look to the future. But we also have other things that we're called to remember here in Hebrews 13. And so that's what I want us to think about a little bit together. The writer exhorts us to remember our leaders, past, present, and primary. And so I want us to spend a little bit of time thinking about how we are to remember, what we are to remember, why we are to remember, and how that will help us to move forward, both as individual Christians and as a church. So I hope the Lord helping us that this will be helpful. So let's look to the Lord to bless us. First of all then, remember your past leaders. As God's blood-bought children, Peter reminds us, doesn't he? We weren't bought with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. As God's blood-bought children, God has called us together into his church and given us leaders. We've been purchased, we've come to Christ personally as individuals, but we've been brought into the church and the Lord has given us leaders. And the first thing that we're commanded to do in Hebrews 13 and verse 7 is to remember our past leaders. So have a look at verse 7 with me, which says this: remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Whether by death or retirement or our moving away or their moving away for any reason, our past leaders have gone. They're no longer leading us. And what are we to do about this? Well, verse 7 tells us we're to remember them. It's not just that they were in our past, we're to remember them. We're to call them to mind. Bring to mind those who spoke the word of God to us, those who preached the gospel to us, those who shared the promises with us and taught us the commands, who illustrated the text and pointed it out to us and applied it to our own situation, who stood before us and said, this is the way of salvation, this is how to know Christ, this is how to be saved. Who were these people? Perhaps they were a Sunday school teacher that had a deep impact on us. We could see that they loved the Lord, and they loved the Word, and they loved us, and we remember them. Perhaps they were a youth leader who patiently took time with us, even though we weren't that interested, and cared about us, and didn't hold back difficult truths from us. Perhaps they were a pastor who week in, week out, Wednesday or whenever the midweek meeting is, in and out, expounded the word of God to us and were faithful in giving us the whole counsel. And the writer to the Hebrews says that we are to bring these people to mind, whoever they are, and be thankful for them. Whether we had the privilege of being brought up in the faith, or if we've come to Christian things later in life, we can all give thanks to God for the individuals that God has brought into our life and exposed us to his truth, pointed us in the way. It is good to remember our past leaders. And the wonderful thing is, in this gathering, though you're usually meeting together, I expect our minds have gone to all manner of different places, all manner of different impacts, as the Lord has woven different people into our lives to bring us under the sound of the gospel. It's good to remember. But having brought these people to mind, what are we to do with the memory? We've said we're to give thanks. We thank God for the past and how the Lord has blessed us. But what are we to do? Well, the writer tells us, look at verse 7. Consider the outcome of their way of life. When I think back to my past leaders, it's difficult, because some have left off following the Lord. So how does this apply? Others, praise God, are still following faithfully. But whatever the case, all in some way pointed me to the Saviour. And it's that that we're to remember, isn't it? The truth remains the same. It's this the writer to the Hebrews wants us to remember. He's not asking us to remember with rose-tinted spectacles, as if it was all well and everything was right and everything was good, because it might not have been. Nor is he asking us to remember some people and not others. He is asking us to remember our leaders and consider what we saw in them, because where there was gospel fervour in them, we are to emulate it. Did they love the Lord and love the lost? And for all of their faults, they wanted people to hear the message. We're to consider it and emulate it. Perhaps we saw Christ in them. Some people, you just have a conversation with them and you just see Christ in them. They are full of the Lord. Perhaps you saw a commitment and a resolve in them, a love for hospitality and caring for others, faith in them. We are to imitate it. When influential ministers have influence in situations, very often those who follow them can look like them and sound like them and have the same mannerisms as them. You get it in Wales with Lloyd Jones, you get it in America with John Piper, you watch the people that have come after them and they all sound and look the same way, whatever way that is. Well, that's not what we are supposed to do, but we are supposed to follow them as much as they follow Christ. I remember hearing a youth leader saying that I'm not the example to follow, don't follow me, follow Jesus. And it sounds very holy, doesn't it? It's not biblical. Paul said, imitate me, follow me as I follow Christ. And we are all to do that, aren't we? Leave aside past leaders for a moment. We are to live in such a way that other believers can look at us and want to imitate our faith because we are following Christ. It's there, if you want the reference, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Imitate me, says Paul, just as I also imitate Christ. Follow my example, in other words, as I follow the example of Christ. Taking time to remember our past leaders is a good thing to do. It's a good thing to meditate on. What made them good? How can I imitate it? So that we can thank God for them and resolve to be like them as they were like Christ. But secondly, remember your present leaders. Have a look at verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Our past leaders have gone, and in their place are new leaders. And this is because the Lord has been faithful to his promise to build his church. Whoever those past leaders were, they're not here anymore, but Christ has said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And therefore, there are present leaders. The Lord is providing for the next generation in answer to the prayers of God's people to send laborers into the harvest field. You have a pastor here today. Somebody who is serving you and watching over your souls and praying for you and caring for you and preaching to you. These prayers have been answered. You have a present leader. And there is a duty, yes, to remember our former leaders, but we also have a duty, and that is not a familiar or popular word in today's culture, duty. But as God's people, we have a duty to have a right attitude towards our present leaders. And that duty, verse 17 tells us, is to obey them and be submissive to them. And that obedience and that submission is to be voluntary and from the heart. It's like that of a wife to their husband. It is always voluntary. Now that doesn't mean that they can just sort of choose not to do it, but it means that it's not forced. They do it out of willing and loving service to their Lord. They do it as unto the Lord, and therefore they submit to what God's word has commanded. All of the commands of the scripture are not enforced by a sword. They are enforced as hearts are conquered and wills are submitted in loving obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we obey and we submit to our leaders. This is what the Lord calls us to do. So how do we show our love for the Lord? By keeping his commandments. By loving each other. And by submitting to those that he's put in authority over us. Really, it's quite simple, isn't it? What does following Jesus look like today? Loving him, keeping his commandments, loving each other, submitting to our leaders. So if we find ourselves fighting against that leadership and there's nothing inherently unbiblical going on, then we need to ask serious questions of ourselves. And if, on the other hand, we find ourselves obeying but doing it grudgingly and sort of kicking our feet, then we also need to ask serious questions of ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 refers to the use of our money, but it applies just as much to the giving of ourselves in submission to our leaders when it says this: God loves a cheerful giver. And the first thing that we give is ourselves. And brothers and sisters, if we give ourselves, then there's nothing else that we will have a problem with giving. It's true, isn't it? We won't have a problem with giving the money out of our pockets. We won't have a problem in giving our time. We won't have a problem in giving our substance, our gifts, our talents, if we've first given ourselves. But why this free submission to spiritual leaders? Because as the letter of Hebrews stresses, we are all prone to wander from the Lord. And so the command is needed. We need somebody to watch over us. In one sense, we're all commanded to do this for each other. Flick with me to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. But exhort one another. We have a responsibility to do this for each other. But exhort one another every day. Hebrews 3, verse 13. As long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The responsibility that we have to each other is because we're all prone to wonder. Think of that hymn, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And so we need each other. Turn to chapter 10, verse 24. I wonder how often do we do this? And let us consider. In other words, let us think through. Let us consider how to stir up one another. We were in a Bible study recently and I was talking about stirring up one another, and we had a friend who's been coming to church a little while, and he usually goes to the football and he stirs up the opposite side. And he said, is that what this means? I said, that's the complete opposite. We don't want to rile each other up. We want to lift each other up and encourage each other, and so we consider how we are to do this. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. God's plan and purpose for us as individual Christians is the church. We need each other. There is a responsibility put on us all. However, Christ has appointed elders and pastors of local congregations to be especially responsible for the task. I wonder if we believe that. And if so, are we taking it seriously? How do we take something like that seriously? Well, the pastor, we would hope, takes his role seriously. He works hard. He prays. He pores over the text. He gets to know the people in his congregation so that he can apply it as faithfully and as directly as he can, that he would build them up to perfection, that is maturity in Christ. So how then are we to respond and take it seriously? To pray for him. To respond to the truth in love. To take the correction and the encouragement that he is giving us. To live it out daily. To be the hands and feet. Because the pastor cannot do the work. That is, the work of ministry is for the people. And the pastor is the enabler for that ministry to take place. We have a responsibility, don't we? To respond to the under-shepherd that the Lord has given us. At the last judgment, those in leadership will have to give an account for the way that they have shepherded the flock. And that is an enormous responsibility. I know some men walk to the pulpit, however few or many people there are, trembling because they have this as such a clear reality in their heads that they stand before the Lord and they will give an account for the ministry that they are discharging. But their burden, we're told by the writer to the Hebrews, will be made heavier or lighter depending on the way that we behave under their leadership. Have a look at verse 17 again. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. That is the exercise of their leadership. For that would be of no advantage to you. It's interesting reasoning, isn't it? This isn't going to benefit you anything. How can we let our leaders do their job with joy and not with groaning? By being with them and by being for them. There's a very easy way of doing that. By showing it on our faces. You know, it makes a world of difference if you think that the people that you love and are speaking to are with you. If you think that they're not with you, or maybe even worse still, they're out there, then you're dead in the water. By being with and being for them, we make it a joy and not a groaning. To do otherwise is of no advantage whatsoever. A groaning and a bitter ministry will only lead to collapse and disintegration. It's not heading in a positive direction, but a joyful leadership. Well, that will go from strength to strength, and it will bring glory to God. Because where brethren dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands the blessing. So as we look forward to the future, we need to remember our past leaders and imitate them. They were gifts from God to us for a time in the past. We need to remember our present leaders and our responsibility to them. But finally, we need to remember our primary leader. The church, believe it or not, can be full of fear in relationship to its leadership. We can miss those who've gone and be fearful that they'll never be replaced. Can anybody ever replace you put the name there? We can worry about the present ones leaving us and moving on, perhaps based on the fact that we're in a situation where somebody left us and moved on from us. We can even consider the ones that have let us down morally and in some way be fearful that it might happen again. And there can be fear within God's church. And these quite natural fears can become crippling if we forget who is really in charge of the church. It's not the pastor, it's not the elders, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a look at verse 8. It's perhaps one of the first verses maybe that we learn in Sunday school or on a camp. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Recognizing and knowing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever is the 100% effective vaccine to our fear of change. And that is true in our lives generally. I remember I'd come home from one part of my life, one block of my life, and I was going on to the next block, and I'd spent a little bit of time at home, and I said goodbye to my parents, and they went off to work. I thought, well, this is unceremonious. I'm just going to leave the house, and that'll be it. And I wrote on a slip of paper that old chorus, "All may change, but Jesus never, glory to his name," and I left it on the breakfast bar, and then a year or so later I found it pinned onto the notice board. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever, deals with our fear of change. All may change, but Jesus never, glory to his name. That is true for us personally, and we need to hold on to that. But it's also true in God's church. Both past and present leaders all come from the same source. They come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the future of the church is not dependent on this leader or that leader. It is dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it a remarkable thought that there is a real human being seated on the throne of the universe, the God-man, Christ Jesus, and he rules over his church? He's described in verse 20 as the great shepherd of the sheep. What makes him great? Four things. He's great in who he is. Do you know the hymn? Great my Jesus in his person. Great as God and man is he. Great his comeliness and beauty, white and ruddy, fair to see. Great that sight, sovereign might, throne secure on heaven's height. When we consider Jesus in the Gospels and see all that he is, we see that he is great in and of himself. There was no fanfare for him, was there? He wasn't born into a palace. He didn't wear posh clothes. If he was living today, he wouldn't have been all over the television and all over social media. He wasn't great in the eyes of the world. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But he was great in his person. He was moved with compassion for the leper. He looked over Jerusalem and he wept for them. He was filled with love. He was filled with righteousness. He is great in who he is. But he's also great in what he has done. It is through him that everything that we see was made. It is in him that everything that we see and everything that we do not see is sustained. And as the great shepherd of the sheep, he came into our world and he laid down his life for us. He's great in who he is. He's great in what he's done. He's great in what he is doing. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What is Christ doing now? He is interceding for his people. He is building his church. And by his Spirit, he is with his people wherever they meet together in his name. And he's great in what he will do. Because one day he is coming back to judge the living and the dead, and to take his people to be with himself forever. That was true when Hebrews was written 2,000 years ago. And it is true today. He is still coming back. And the remarkable thing is that the last chapter of the Bible, he promises, the one who cannot break his promise, that he is coming soon. 1,000 years is as one day with the Lord. 2 days have passed, perhaps today. He is great in what he will do. So as we close, I want to draw out one implication for you as a church as you look forward together. And that is this. Because Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep and does not change, the help that has been known throughout the centuries is available for you. Who gave the apostles their power and their boldness? Who gave the reformers their conviction and their influence? Who gave the Puritans their depth and their understanding? Who raised up Whitfield and Spurgeon and Moody and Studd and Hudson Taylor and anybody else who is a hero that God has used in the past? Who sent the revivals throughout church history? The Lord Jesus Christ. And what they received from him is available to us too. All spiritual life and sustaining grace and power to persevere and fruitfulness in the ministry comes from him. And so we might feel weak and we might feel nothing and we might feel without gifts and very small and insignificant. But the Lord has not changed. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. What has he promised? I will build my church. The gospel will go to every kindred and tongue and nation. I will save all of my lost sheep. And then he will return. He might not give the same measure of gifts. He might do. But the same grace is still available. All the resources that God's saints of yesteryear have enjoyed are available to us. So, brothers and sisters, to remember our past leaders is good. To submit to our present leaders is right. But to look to the primary leader is best and essential. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the significance of this church in this place. We thank you, Lord, that as we gather together in your name as a church, that what we are doing is in no way insignificant. That, Lord, this is evidence of your work in the world. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, the great shepherd of the sheep. And we thank you for his promise to build his church, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, please help us to be faithful in all that you have called us to remember those who have gone before, to imitate their way of life, to submit and obey to those that you have given to us now, and to look to the Lord Jesus, your Son and our Saviour, in order that we might be strengthened. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 763. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. And we'll stand and sing together.
We rest on thee, our shield.
Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.